FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is October 4th, 2017. Well, this show could easily be entitled Catalonia, Catatonia, but okay. Andrew Hoffman will be with us in a moment. As always, email us questions, comments, kl@kerrylutz.com, or just post them to the site, to the article. I read them all, promise. Hey, Andy, good morning and happy Catalonia, Catatonia.
Yeah. Well, everything's Catatonia now with rigged markets. I saw this morning that Puerto Rico, it's Trump. So what are we, a week after Trump said, I want to get rid of the debt ceiling entirely, which was just a couple of days after we yet again extended it for 3 months into December. He says that Puerto Rico is going to have to default on all its bonds. Sorry, Goldman Sachs. And Puerto Rico's got a huge amount of debt. It's like $70 billion. 72. And I remember when all the hedge funds, Morgan Stanley, I think, was like the lead underwriter of all their debt a few years ago. And I'm sitting there going, who's buying this stuff? They are so bankrupt, this country. And so now they're using the excuse of hurricanes. That's what, the Fed loves excuses. Everyone loves excuses to say that we can default on debt. And in Puerto Rico's case, it was the hurricanes. But what will it be in our case? Because something's going to happen. In fact, I saw yesterday, you remember back in 2011, we had the debt ceiling of, I remember the exact number, $14.186 trillion. Mm-hmm. And we had a debt ceiling debate or whatever was going on, and S&P downgraded us from AAA. Yeah. Not that we ever should have been there, but okay, they did it. It was draconian to do, and the government pretty much almost put S&P out of business for doing that, and no one has touched the U.S. credit rating since. And now, 6 years later, the debt is, I don't even know what it is anymore because it's been suspended so long, but it's well above $20 trillion, and yet everyone still has the same ratings, except yesterday I saw that Moody's came out and said, if you pass this tax bill into effect, we are going to downgrade you, meaning that the pressure, even with knowing that the government will attack them if they do it, the pressure on these rating agencies to admit reality is incredible. They have to at some point downgrade us for all the debt. I mean, now we have no debt ceiling. We don't care about that anymore. Even this Mick Mulvaney, the hawkish budget director, said this tax plan has absolutely no interest in revenue neutrality. We're just going to print more money. And you have a new Fed chairman is going to be put in soon, which will probably be one of, as Trump calls, low interest rate people. So, things are going to come to a head soon in this country financially. And maybe we need an excuse, like in Puerto Rico. What will be the excuse to take that next step into oblivion?
Yeah, well, we're already several steps down the road into oblivion, Andy. That's for damn sure. But I agree. We've gotten into this thing where there's no tether to reality anymore. It basically, just the government just does what it wants to do, and the consequences be damned.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, how much rigging markets, how much it can, how many problems it can cause. I mean, it goes all the way back to just fiat money in general, which creates the moral hazard and the conflict of interest, and eventually a consolidation of all the power and wealth of a country into a few hands. Now it's just out of control because they figured out how to rig markets on a 24/7 basis to the point where they can do anything. But by, quote, doing anything, they are destroying the nation further and destroying the value of the dollar and all the currencies around the world and destabilizing politics and geopolitics and, obviously the real economy. It's really amazing to see, like, plunging real numbers. You have this hard data index at an 8-year low. I mean, 8 years is a long time. And it seems like month after month, industrial production, durable goods, retail sales, all that stuff, plunge. And the only time they don't is like, oh, wow, car sales went up this month because they have to replace all the cars in Houston. And no, that's not a good thing because a lot of people lost a lot of money in those cars. And a lot of debt was accumulated in the process of adding these new cars. There's nothing beneficial about this. But, you know, you see that these soft debt indexes are like, it's like watching the Dow, watching like the Philly Fed index or the ISM manufacturing index. It's literally like watching the Dow. It's never allowed to go down. It's meanwhile, the real economy is plunging and all the hard data is plunging. So, again, you know, something is going to happen soon. It has to, because there's never been a bigger gap between reality financially and economically and the valuations that are that these crazy rig markets have caused. But again, I don't spend as much time in that world anymore. You know, gold will be gold and it will sit around until these machinations are overcome or overwhelmed by reality. I focus more on the crypto world. But I did want to address, because you started out talking about Catalonia. Now, I've been, since the first secession referendum back, it was in November of 2014. I had to look it up because I can't believe how much time has passed. And 89% of the people in that non-binding referendum voted to secede. And of course, the government said it doesn't count. It doesn't matter. But it was only a year later where Catalonia elected a new parliament that was pro-secession. And less than a year after that, they put in the articles of secession and said, we're going to have this vote in October 2017. And all along, it just looked to me from the finances, you know, it seems like this is the wealthy, like Robin Hood stealing from the wealthy being Catalonia. And they feel like the government has stolen their money and they're the wealthy people and they want it out. And sure enough, despite the government's best intentions, they voted out. 90% said we want secession. And now I just learned this morning they're going to announce this Monday. And the question is, what will the government do?
Civil war, you think?
Well, I don't know if you have a civil war because the Spanish government and army is much more powerful. I mean, it's a matter of they can either go in by force and show that they're not a first world country, that they're just a despotic banana republic and just go like arrest and kill everyone for wanting to exercise their freedom. I mean, I saw this king. They have a king.
Yeah.
No one even knows they have a king. And this guy, he gave a rant like I never heard yesterday. This guy's supposed to be a king and he's ranting like a baby saying the Catalonian people can't do anything. They have to listen to what we want. And I'm going, who are you? You're just the son of another, you know, puppet. I mean, give me a break. So, but the thing is, what will they do? Because Catalonia is the wealthiest province in Spain. And let's face it, Spain is pretty much a zero of a country. It's a lazy country. Sorry if there's Spanish people on the phone. It hasn't accomplished anything. Financially, it's a basket case. The reason that we have all the European QE goes all the way back to the Spanish bailout of 2012. That's what caused Mario Draghi to say, I'll do whatever it takes to save the euro, which has meant trillions of dollars of QE and negative interest rates for 3 years. And political unrest and social unrest, which is why we had the Brexit and Marine Le Pen and the German election result the other day. And soon we're going to have it in Italy. The same thing will happen. It happened in Portugal. And of course, what's going on with Catalonia. So Spain has one of the worst financial conditions in all of Europe. That's why it's one of the pigs. And if you take out Catalonia, which is, I mean, I think it's like 10% of the population, but 20% of the GDP and possibly even more of the tax receipts, because this is where the wealthy, productive people live. Spain will go bankrupt. Spain will be Greece. I mean, the question, of course, is will Catalonia agree? Let's say they secede. Will they say, OK, we're 20% of GDP. We'll take on 20% of your debt. Or maybe they'll say, we're only 10% of the population. We'll only take 10% of the debt. Or maybe they'll say, you guys are attacking us and killing us. And not allowing us to exert our freedom. So you know what? We're not going to take on any of your debt. And in that worst case scenario, Spain truly becomes Greece. And that's why it's so comical to see, you know, no problem, buy the Dow, everything's great, because it's not great. I mean, Europe is we all knew the European Union was on its deathbed when we saw the Brexit. And this is a potentially gigantic major event. And we'll see how it plays out.
It could, in effect, be worse than Brexit, if that's possible, because it'll lead to the meltdown of Spain. Spain will go into a massive depression almost immediately, and the government debt will be basically toilet paper. And where's that going to leave the euro? This could be existential. It could be the black swan, because I'm not sure how you actually try to put Humpty Dumpty back together again here.
Yeah. Oh, it's completely different. The Brexit and the Catalonia, they were, for one, markets weren't as rigged even back then at the time of the Brexit. Like now it's like even Spanish stocks aren't even allowed to go down. Are you kidding me? Spanish stocks didn't go down much on this. I mean, that's how crazy the rigging has gotten in these Western markets. But the Brexit was really more of a repudiation of the European Union in general, as opposed to a death knell event for a significant portion of it. I mean, it's not like England or the UK can't go it alone. I mean, they've got their own problems, but it's, they're the ones who are leaving. They're saying, we're leaving you, we can go it alone. Whereas if Catalonia leaves Spain, Spain cannot live without Catalonia. So, and Spain already was, for good reason, one of the five pigs nations. So, you're talking about Catalonia doesn't care about the European Union, although I'm sure they don't love it. But they care more about Spain. And I think if they repudiate Spain and leave Spain, they could put Spain in a Greece-like position in a hurry, which will put a tremendous strain on the entire European Union. Of course, the speculation of what will happen to the other pigs nations will increase. And you already got so many of the big. I mean, look, Germany just had this vote where the two major parties never got so little vote. And in France, yeah. Emmanuel Macron already has the lowest presidential approval rating this early in a, he's gone in 4 years. He's a complete nothing. And Marine Le Pen may well win the next time around. And in Italy, we all know what's going on there. I mean, we just the prime minister or president, whatever it is, he was just kicked out in a referendum. And you have all these parties that want to leave the euro and start their own currency. So, this will be a far more destabilizing event from a monetary standpoint, because again, you got the ECB is sitting there saying, well, we really want to stop with our QE. And at the same time, they're running out of bonds to buy. So either they're going to have to stop the QE, which they can't do, or they're going to have to increase it by saying, yeah, we can buy even more bonds. We're going to increase our mandate. So we can pretty much buy every junk bond in the realm and admit to buying stocks. So, this Spain thing could end any hope of the ECB having control over anything.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. There's not even a question about it. I mean, it is a potentially existential event for the EU because there's other countries just waiting to collapse. And I think it could, if it's not handled properly, it's going to lead to a cascading collapse of the entire thing. And what then? What are they going to do then, Andy?
Well, I don't really care what they're going to do because I don't live in Europe. But eventually, the U.S. is at the top of the monetary totem pole. We still have the reserve currency. People are leaving it. More and more countries are leaving it. They're finding ways to go around it, but it's still the reserve currency. And I've talked about forever about, like, I said, if a nuclear bomb destroys Europe, would that mean that that's good for the dollar? It's bad for everything. And it's certainly good for gold. Although they'll say, the propagandists say, well, look, the dollar index is up. So that's bad for gold. I mean, it's just the whole thing is so silly. We're still at the top of the totem pole. And when there's a crisis, and there has to be a crisis, there hasn't been a real crisis in 6 or 7 years, despite things being worse than they arguably have ever been economically and politically. So it'll come. And when it does come, the dollar will go up against all these other currencies like the euro, which are already on some of them on death's door. But the big issue is going to be, what's the dollar going to do against, real items of value? And in the past, it was only gold that you really had to consider. But now they have, in my view, a much more powerful nemesis in Bitcoin, because there's no way they can control it. The Chinese government proved that when they tried to ban it from the exchanges. You can't control it. There's nothing they could do about it. The governments don't own any. They can't collude because they don't know what to do. That most of them don't even understand how it works. They just spend more of the time denigrating it, kind of like calling gold a barbarous relic. And it's very empowering because the 99% can participate, and they're increasingly participating. So I don't think gold is going to be the mechanism to destroy the fiat currency regime. I think it's going to just sit there and do what it always does. And eventually, you know, it'll go up when the regime cracks around it. But it's not going to be because of gold anymore. It's going to be because of Bitcoin. And just look where Bitcoin was a year ago compared to where it is today. And I'll bet when we're talking a year from now, it'll be shocking that we were talking about scaling debates and, you know, and just getting into the low $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, because I think the world is starting to wake up. The fact that Jamie Dimon's attacking them, the Chinese government is attacking it, and now the U.S. SEC is going into everyone is attacking something that really can't be attacked.
Yeah, well, when there's nobody running the show, there's no central Bitcoin bank. What do you do? That's the problem that I see with a lot of the cryptos, is that there is the XYZ, the Ethereum Corporation, that runs Ethereum. So you can throw those people in jail. But who are you throwing in jail from Bitcoin?
That's what's so beautiful about it. It's the most perfect investment vehicle I've ever come across. And I've been, you know, in the gold industry for a long, long time. I still believe in gold, but, you know, I shouldn't even say now that I've left Miles Franklin. It's really only been very recently that this came to me that I think Bitcoin is the superior store of value now that it has Segwit. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes you just need a seminal event that changes people's worldview. And when Segwit was activated on August 23rd, which is, you know, a couple of days after I left Miles Franklin, that was the day that the last remaining major security bug was fixed. So at the same time, you had, you know, the major attempt at a hard fork to commandeer it, and it failed. It was called Bcash, Bitcoin Cash, and it failed. So in my view, the two things that I was worried about was, will it get through the scaling debate with all the people opposed to it? And can the network be split and the 21 million coins limit be eliminated? And the fact is, in both cases, no, they were both decided within three weeks time in August. So I now believe that Bitcoin is money. There's nothing that's going to stop it at this point. It's just a matter of how fast the adoption rate is.
Yeah. And how fast is that going to be? I mean, there's still most of the people in the world don't know, are clueless about
That's right. That's They're right. Clueless. I would say if I would say probably realistically, the amount of people in America that own a gold or silver coin, I would say some people use bigger numbers. I don't think it's more than 1%. I really don't. I think it's more than 1%. After all these years, it's only 1%. And with Bitcoin, it can't be a hundredth of that. And if you say how many people have like 10 Bitcoins, it's going to be like a thousandth of that. People are just starting to learn. Of course, you know, the higher price tends to be what draws people in. First, you speculate on it, then it grows big enough to, gain economies of scale and network effects, and then people start to use it. And that's kind of on the cusp of where we are right now. And now that we have the Segwit activated just 6 weeks ago, you're going to be able to scale it exponentially faster. That was what we were waiting for. Well, you can add all these layered solutions on top of it now that you've gotten rid of the malleability bug that was fixed by Segwit. So I expect what has already been and pretty much an exponential growth rate on akin with where the internet was circa 1995 is going to take off in similar fashion in the coming years. And I mean now, not 5 years from now, I mean right now.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so just to explain exactly what Segwit is.
Right. Again, it's amazing. I spent 10 years in the oil business, covering oil field service stocks and drillers and seismic companies and fracking companies and all these things that deal with technologies, which, I mean, I don't understand. I'm a financial guy, but you learn if you read the smart people and you do enough research, you can get an idea of how things work and be competent to talk about them. And the same thing happened when I worked in the mining business for 5 or 6 years. I went out to the sites. I read all the geologist reports. All this stuff. You just get to know how things are. And in Bitcoin, it's even, I won't say it's more complex, because geologic engineering is just as much Greek to me as software, as cryptocurrency software. But I have learned enough to know the important things. And basically, you had you have in Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator, whether it's a he, she, or they, we don't know, created a 1 megabyte block size. Blocks are the amount of transactions. Blocks are units in which transactions are processed, and that's what's mined by the miners through these complex computer programs. The thing is, with only 1 megabyte block size, if you have enough transactions, it gets clogged. And so the scaling debate was talking about, you had one side that said, we can keep the 1 megabyte block size, but if we have other technologies that are implemented, it can expand the amount of transactions you use simply with the 1 megabyte block size. And then you got other guys who say, well, we want to just increase the block size. We want each block to be 2 megabytes or 10 megabytes or infinite. And the thing is that if you do those block size increases, it requires what's called a hard fork, which means the network has to be split into two. It doesn't mean that they will be equally strong. What happened with, for instance, with this one that just happened with Bcash was the Bitcoin network stayed just as strong, and this other one is getting very weak, and people are not really accepting it. And so but the point is, at the time that they're having the scaling debate, most people fear that it would cause a split and people would doubt the viability of Bitcoin, and certainly, you know, the 21 million cap limit if you have multiple chains that can't decide which is which. So through all this contention, what won out, what Bitcoin proved through the summer, is that it doesn't matter if you're a powerful miner or a rich investor or even a government, the will of the economic majority is what gets things done. And the will of the economic majority did not want the hard fork. What they wanted was SegWit, and they kind of forced it through. And so SegWit now, most importantly, it fixed this, as I say, malleability bug, which simply means the security is improved to a point where you can add layered technology. So for having a 1 megabyte block size, you can now do a lot more and make it be the equivalent of, say, 4 megabytes. And then with these new technologies, it may be expanded even further. So that's where we are. We just activated this 6 weeks ago. And now all of a sudden, all these technologies that were in development waiting for it are all of a sudden going crazy. They're all getting ready to implement all these things, and already 7% of the transactions are SegWit, and you know, probably a year from now it could be 70%, and you'll have some of these layered solutions. So it'll be a much faster, more efficient network. Some of the things that they can add into it, by the way, these layered solutions, for instance, making it more fungible, making it more anonymous. You know, people think that Bitcoin trades are anonymous. They're absolutely not, because you can trace them. But there are cryptocurrencies that are anonymous, and this is something that could be added onto Bitcoin too. And also, you know, the thing with Ethereum, they say, well, Ethereum could do smart contracts, these complex contracts. The thing is that Bitcoin can do that now too. So they can compete with pretty much any crypto on anything, and that's what's so exciting.
That is exciting. Really exciting. It opens up a whole new realm. And enough excitement for 1 week here. Check out Andy's work, CryptoGoldCentral.com. And you can find us at FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Sign up for the newsletter. The Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz. And the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Andy, we'll see what happens next week with Catalonia. That's the one that's really got my attention right now.
Yeah, Monday is the date, so we'll see.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.